ladies and gentlemen, turn in your Bibles to 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verses 12 and 13. As I will resume preaching in your hearing, the church must unhitch itself from W.E.B. Du Bois's Problem of the Color Line, Part 15, The Lost Souls of Black Folk and White Folk, Part 69. Yes, the Just Jesus Evangelistic Campaign is still rolling on, day 872, since January the 20th, 2017, and day 1233, since January the 1st, 2016. First Corinthians chapter 12, verses 12 and 13. The Holy Bible, the Holy Word of God reads, "For as the body is one," and by the way, what I love about the Holy Bible, the Old Testament and the New Testament, as soon as you read it, if you are a born-again individual, you know that it is what gives us the authority we need. It is the Word of God, not history, not our learning, not what somebody else has said, but the eternal, inerrant, inspired Word of God. As soon as you read it, you sense the authority. "For as the body is one, and hath many members, and all the members of that one body, being many, are one body, my God help us, so also is Christ. For by one Spirit are we all baptized into one body, whether we be Jews or Gentiles, whether we be bond or free, and have been all made to drink into one Spirit." Holy Father God, we praise you and we thank you for the victorious day on yesterday. I shall never forget it. My greatest birthday experience ever, because we dedicated the day to serving you and others and not we ourselves. And I thank you for leading me to do that. And I give you the glory, the praise, and the honor, and thank you for the victories won and the many people reached. And Holy Father God, we thank you for this past morning and all of the good work that was done already. And thank you, Lord, for allowing us to be here again to proclaim your holy gospel and to help Christians get back on track, to confess sin, repent, to turn from their evil ways, and to get back to the business at hand of sharing the gospel and of praying and getting back to you, our first love. Grant us your grace and the power of your Holy Spirit to do it. And help us to be one in doing it, as you have made it clear to us you want us to do. In Jesus Christ's name we pray and for his sake. Amen. You may be seated. Ladies and gentlemen, Dr. Tony Evans said biblical truth. Biblical truth overrides cultural differences. And that is so true. So many of us have lost our way and have forgotten that truth. By way of introduction, as many of you know, I have been on vacation, God gave me the liberty to take a break. I didn't want to do so, but the spirit was willing, but the flesh was weak. And so God led me to do so, and I'm so glad I did, for my two doctors gave me a 100% bill of health, and I am fired up and ready to go. By way of introduction, to lay the foundation, if you will, for this powerful passage, Dr. John Walvoord and Dr. Roy Zuck wrote in the Bible Knowledge Commentary were the editors. They said this passage forms an excellent three-part summary of the rest of the chapter. A, the human body is a unit. B, the human body has many parts with a necessary diversity in its members. C, the parts of the human body work together, glory be to God, as one, with a dependent mutuality, as each part fulfills an important function. Likewise, the body of Christ has a diversity of parts functioning together. That's how it ought to be. That's how it should be. That's how it is. That's how it will be. The one who gave the diverse gifts, the Spirit, was also the medium, if you will, in which, by which, and with which that unity exists. The baptism of the Spirit is experienced by all who believe at the moment of salvation. In that baptism, believers, regardless of nationality, whether Jews or Greeks, whether black or white, or station of life, slave or free, upper class or lower class, are identified with Christ, baptized into one body, and are indwelt by the Holy Spirit of God. Amen, somebody, end of quote. Ladies and gentlemen, we saw in our last few messages in this series before my extended vacation that God has created all the people in the world and wants them to seek after Him so that they can be saved, so that they can be born again, so that they can be washed in the blood of the Lamb. Now let's narrow our focus a little bit to those people who have trusted Christ as Savior. The Southern Baptist Convention, the largest Protestant denomination in America, has a history of racism that they're trying to correct. Many of its leaders in the past supported slavery and had slaves, the Confederacy, and were a part of it, and segregation. I believe that one of the reasons why the leaders of the Southern Baptist Convention right now today are so up in arms against white supremacy that we see popping up today is because they recognized some of their nephews and their sons in Charlottesville, Virginia, and in various parts of the U.S. who are still a part of that. They may not be members of the church actively involved, but they see some of their own young men still a part of the white supremacy movement, and they're fighting hard to shut it down. Even though all of this was in the past, for the Southern Baptist Convention, we still see it today. And now we have young black men who are part of the Southern Baptist Convention who are shocked by it, and they're fighting it the best way they know how. They've been given everything. They have book deals. They're preaching on platforms that their grandfathers only dreamed about. They're preaching at the National Convention, the Southern Baptist National Convention. And they're trying slowly but surely to make the changes. Some are frustrated. Some are shocked. Some have quit because they still see the ugly, demonic head of racism popping up everywhere they go. The two major Baptist groups in America are nearly identical in theology, black and white, but are divided along racial lines. The predominantly white Southern Baptist Convention and the predominantly black National Baptist Convention. At their 2019 annual meeting, Southern Baptists, just a few months ago, still had to pass resolutions condemning racism and promoting diversity. And where would the Southern Baptists be today without the likes of Dwight McKissick and others? There was also some backlash to these resolutions by those who believe that the convention's increased focus on social justice could lead to acceptance of sin like it has in mainline Protestant denominations. whatever you believe about these efforts, racial and ethnic divides among Christians are nothing new. Paul was dealing with them some 2,000 years ago. While the modern divide among American Christians is between white and black, the divide among early Christians was between the Jews who had accepted Jesus Christ and the Greeks, which in this context means all non-Jewish people living under the Roman Empire, because the dominant culture in the Roman Empire was Greek. There are three lessons that we can pull, if you will, from this ancient ethnic divide between Jewish Christians and Greek Christians, and apply to the modern divide between white Christians and black Christians in America. And I still say we must unhitch ourselves from W.E.B. Du Bois's vision and problem of the color line. For some of us have chosen to allow it to go on. And as I have said several times in the past, because it is very profitable, sad to say, to both whites and blacks, politically, financially, and otherwise. And so it is our pet sin that we play with, that we don't try to stamp out. We use it to gain advantage. That's how wicked we are in America today. So first of all, we as the body of Christ are one unit, whether you like it or not. And we ought to act like this is the case. When it comes to the church, we are all on level ground. Both the black Christian and the white Christians. Both the lower class, so-called, and the upper class Christians have all been saved through Jesus Christ, if you are saved at all, and have been baptized by the Holy Spirit. Regardless of what our social status outside the church, we all ought to treat each other as brothers and sisters in Christ. I do not deal with white brothers who treat white brothers one way and treat me another way. I just won't have fellowship with you. And by the way, I said this before and I'll say it again, black or white, if you hate the opposite race, I'm telling you to your face, you have never been born again. Truly saved people don't hate anybody. They don't, if you're saved. How can you when you have Jesus living on the inside of you? And I think that we have foolishly, down through the years, allowed for people to be racists who claim to be Christians and basically say it is okay. And that's not the case. Now, personally, I don't have a problem with a white church, predominantly white church or predominantly black church. I still believe the church is diverse. And it doesn't matter to me whether you win a black soul or a white soul. Just win souls. But here's the deal. Though whether you are a predominantly white church or predominantly black church, you ought to welcome anybody who wants to come to your church. Genuinely and lovingly. Without giving them special treatment, because your special treatment is a form of racism. I'm not special because I joined your congregation one Sunday morning. I'm not your black Christian. Oh my, we have our black Christian with us this morning. No. No. In fact, I ought to be treated just like everybody else. So regardless of what our social status outside of the church, we all ought to treat each other as brothers and sisters in Christ when it comes to the Word of God. And we ought not to be phonies. We ought not to be fakes. We ought not to be hypocrites. And not only according to the Word of God, but to the work of God. We all ought to be busy loving everybody, witnessing to everybody. If you pass out a gospel tract to a white man, pass one out to a black man too. You cannot be racist when it comes down to the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. If you don't want a black man to marry your daughter, that's your business. Because I don't want a white man to marry mine, so we're even. But if they do, there's no sin committed. And I just have to, as a father, deal with it. I'll just have to feed him, my white son-in-law, out of a long-handled spoon. No, I'm just kidding. Secondly, as a body, we are composed of many different parts. Just as all of the parts of the human body work together to keep you alive and to keep me alive, all of the members of the body of Christ ought to work together towards, hear me well, evangelism and discipleship and praying for everybody and loving everybody. I like what the Southern Baptists are doing. I believe that every Christian denomination ought to join them. Why not? And every time I think about it, I get excited about it. Where's your one? Nothing gets me more excited about that. Yeah, I'm called to be an evangelist, and you're not excited about it. That's okay. You may have a different calling in the body of Christ, but my calling is evangelism. We can get together on that. Where's your one? In the words of Tommy Steele out of Charlotte, North Carolina, you can get one if you want one, because if you pray for one, God will give you one. Amen, somebody. How about your one? I believe every denomination, every person who loves Jesus ought to get with that program. Your local church, you might be an independent Baptist, get with it. Nothing will fire your church up like prayer and getting that one, winning that one to Christ, getting one soul, one new soul in the church on Sunday morning will do more for firing up your church than anything else. Getting a soul baptized in the baptismal pool that you have not used for the past 15 years will inject your congregation with an enthusiasm you haven't seen in years. How about your one black Christians? How about your one white Christians? How about your one brown Christians? Methodists, Presbyterians, you know you need a one. God bless you. Episcopalians, Southern Baptists, Black Baptists, the AME Church. How about your one, baby? How about your one, man? Just one. Get one. What? Don't get me started. Get one. Get excited about getting one. Don't worry about two, get one. Don't worry about 100, get one. Don't worry about winning Cambodia, win Chicago. How about your one? Are you looking at your one? That's what we ought to join together on. Reaching one for Christ. If the entire body of Christ just got one today, all of heaven will shout for joy around the throne of God. I know I'm right about it. How about you one? It makes no difference if they're black or white. One. There's no racism in heaven, dear friend. One. One. It is common in America for Christians to be divided into different demographics. It's okay. The black church, the white church, the other name for them, evangelicals, the mainline Protestants, and so on. And by the way, I still believe there's hope for the mainline Protestants. I believe they can be revived again. Thank God the prosperity gospel is dying after much prayer and much preaching down through the years. If Benny Hinn repents and apologizes, is all going to come crumbling down across all denominations. Glory be to God. Well, if we all believe in Christ and his mission for us, our differences ought to be a secondary issue. We should all be working together in order to advance his cause, the cause of Christ, everybody. When I'm a part of a privileged white church, I want to get it mixed and everything. No, it's calm down, okay? Calm down. Calm down, my dear white brother. God bless you. Your heart is in the right place. Here's what you need to do. You walk out of your White House, and whoever you see, even if it is a white man, you witness to him and tell him about Jesus and invite him to your church. Where's your one? Calm down, okay? Don't worry about trying to mix the church. The church will be fine. Just keep winning souls. You may win somebody to Christ like the church that I came out of, an old line. All white, lily white Baptist church, where the pastor got concerned about black folk. Went against his deacon board and his trustee board and said, doggone it, we're going to start winning black folks to Christ. I'm talking about deep south Mississippi, down near Keesler Air Force Base. And it just so happened, God touched his heart around the time I got stationed at Keesler Air Force Base. I am saved today and have been preaching now for the gospel for 40 years because of that white man. God touched his heart and told his trustee board, his deacon board, who deserved to have the board put on them, said, you could do what you want, but we're going to win some black folks to Christ and they're going to get baptized. And this baptismal pool, that's 40 plus years ago. Oh, yes. That happened. And that's why I'm preaching the gospel to black and white, red and yellow around the world. Millions have heard the gospel through this black preacher. Many black souls have been saved. and many white and brown and yellow. We reach everybody today. Because of that old Southern white Baptist preacher, Deep South Mississippi. That's where I got born again, man. December the 19th, 1979. I have never been the same since because of an old Baptist preacher, white preacher. Say, bless God. You know how they say it. You know how they say it back in the day. Bless God. That's right. Y'all can leave, and some people did leave. You can call me a nigger lover all you want to, but we're going to win these black folk to Christ because God put it on my heart, and that's right, they're going to get baptized in this white baptismal pool, and I'm one of them. I got baptized in that church. You say, well, preacher, didn't you get baptized in the black church before that? Yes, I did, a couple of times when I was 12 years old. But I went down a dry center and came up a wet center, still lost and on my way to hell, until because of this white brother who helped get started a black church, showed me from the Holy Bible what they called back then the Romans Road, which I still pass out the Romans Road tracks today. I have a special love for the Romans Road tracks, gospel tracks. That's how I got saved. That's what they called it back then. Where's your one? How about your one? When was the last time you won one? Are you looking at your one? And then thirdly and lastly, today, beloved, we all ought to be working together to do the work of God. You can do your thing in your white church, and I can do my thing in the black church, and that's all right as long as we're reaching people with the gospel of Christ. As long as we're not going out and saying, I'm just going to witness the white folk. As long as we're not going out saying, I'm just going to witness the black folk, then we're going to witness to everybody and welcome everybody into the church of the Lord Jesus Christ. And if they come to our black church and they feel more comfortable down at First Baptist with the people who fish and have boats, they can go there. If you win one who's black and he feels more comfortable down in Mount Shiloh Baptist Church, where the black folks shallow a little bit, it's okay. It's all diversity, my dear friend, in God's eyes. We ought to be united in our purpose and our aim of sharing the gospel with the lost. At any cost, by any means necessary. We ought to be united in representing Jesus Christ on earth by following the two great commandments, as I have shared with you earlier in this series. Loving God, loving Jesus Christ, and loving our neighbor. We do not have time to be engaged in petty internal squabbles over race while the souls of people have not been reached with the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ and are in danger of going to hell forever. We ought to be able to leave our differences on the sidelines so that we can work together in the greater mission of bringing others to the cross. Even Benny Hinn said the other day that he does not want to be known as a prosperity gospel preacher. He wants to be known as the preacher who pointed people to the cross. And he pointed his hand like that, to the cross. I said, all right, Benny, Sounds good to me. Imagine how powerful the church could be if we were only united under the blood-stained banner of the cross, refusing to be distracted by secondary issues, and only focused on loving all people, praying for all people, proclaiming the gospel to all people, and discipling all saints. Witness Lee, my mother's favorite writer for some reason, said the unity of church is but the saints in oneness living. The spirit which indwelleth them, this oneness ever giving. Thus it is realized and called the unity of the spirit. 'Tis based upon the common faith which all the saints inherit. This precious faith of all the saints is constituted solely of Christ and his redemptive work, which are unique and holy. In this, the saints are truly one, together all agreeing, and it is from this common faith the church came into being. This oneness is the church's ground, the ground of common standing, the only ground of unity the Spirit is demanding. The church, in actual practice thus, may keep her vital union and her expressions locally be built up in communion. Lord, help us ever strive to keep this unity by taking the church's ground of unity, the body life partaking, that all thy heart's profound desire may fully be effected and God's eternal purpose may completely be perfected. Let's stand for a word of prayer. Holy Father God, we pray in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ that you would revive your church, your diverse church. And we understand that does not mean, from your perspective, a church having all races in it, a local church having all races in it. Your church is already diverse because, from your perspective, the whole church is your church. And so we need to focus on what you told us to do, whatever local church we're in, to love you back with everything that's in us, to pray for all people, to love all people, and to witness to all people, no matter what church they end up in. Grant us your grace, your anointing, your unction, and the power of your Holy Spirit to do it, for your glory, your praise, and your honor, not ours. For we don't deserve any. In Jesus Christ's name, we pray and forsake. Amen. You may be seated. Ladies and gentlemen, if you are a Christian listening today, here are three things you need to do in light of the message. Number one, confess and repent of your own sins. You already know what they are. Number two, pray for your brothers and sisters in Christ to repent of their sins as well and get back to their first love. Number three, pray for souls to be saved and do your part by witnessing to the lost at any cost. Now, if you are with us today and you do not know Jesus Christ as your Savior, you're on the outside looking in, I invite you to get on the boat, the good ship Zion, the salvation boat. Allow me to show you how you can place your faith and trust in Jesus Christ for salvation from sin and hell. First, accept the fact that you are a sinner and that you have broken God's laws. The Bible says in Romans 3:23, "For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God." Second, accept the fact that there is a penalty for sin. The Bible says in Romans 6:23, "For the wages of sin is death." Third, accept the fact that you are on the road to hell. Jesus Christ said in Matthew 10:28, we read this in our scripture reading yesterday in context, "And fear not them which kill the body, but are not able to kill the soul, but rather fear him which is able to destroy both soul and body in hell." Hell is a sad place. Hell is a place of torment. Hell is a place of agony. Hell is a place of fire. Hell is hot. You think Texas heat is hot? Multiply that a billion times over, and you might have a little bit of hell. Trust Christ as your Savior so that you can avoid going to hell. Hell is the bad news, but I have some good news for you. Jesus Christ said in John 3:16, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, his name is Jesus Christ, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish," that is, perish in hell, "but have everlasting life." Just believe in your heart on the Lord Jesus Christ. Believe that he died, he suffered, he bled, he died for your sins. This is good news. Was buried and rose from the dead by the power of God for you, so that you can live forever with him. Pray and ask him to come into your heart to save your soul today, and he will save you. Romans 10:9-13 says, and this is how I got saved some 40 years ago, when these words popped off of a Bible page into my heart, "That if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved." Saved from what? Saved from hell. I just got through telling you about that. Saved to what? Saved to heaven, to be with God forever. So, dear friend, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ in your heart. Believe that Jesus Christ suffered, bled, and died on the cross for your sins, was buried, and rose on the third day. That is the gospel. That is the good news. You don't have to go to hell. You can go to heaven by trusting Christ. You say, "Well, preacher, my dying is a long way off." Not so fast on that, my dear friend. I don't have to worry about it now. Oh, yes, you do. You see, some of you people listening to me right now, you have life insurance in case you die. You have auto insurance in case you get into a car accident. You have health insurance in case you get sick. Well, you're going to die, and there is a hell to shun and a heaven to gain. These are biblical facts. You need to get your eternal life insurance policy signed by the blood of Jesus Christ. You need to believe on Christ today, dear friend, and pray and ask him to save your soul, and he will. And I'll be glad to lead you in that prayer. "For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved." Repeat after me, phrase by phrase, and mean it from your heart. Holy Father God, I acknowledge that I am a sinner and that I have done evil in your sight. For I have broken your Ten Commandments. I've taken your holy name in vain. I've dishonored and disobeyed my parents. I've lied before. I've stolen things before. I have lusted after people and things before. For Jesus Christ's sake, have mercy and grace upon me and forgive me of my sins. As I now believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, who suffered, bled, and died for my sins, as the Lamb of God who took away the sins of the world, Lord Jesus, please come into my heart and save my soul. Understanding that you were buried and you rose on the third day, fill me with your Holy Spirit and help me to repent of my sins past. And help me to turn from my evil life and to follow you in the new life, Lord Jesus. For it is in your name I pray. Amen. Now, dear friend of mine, if you believed in your heart on the Lord Jesus Christ, that he died on the cross for your sins, was buried, and rose on the third day, allow me to say congratulations on doing the most important thing in life, and that is trusting Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. For more information to help you grow in your newfound faith in Christ, please go to GospelLightSociety.com and read my pamphlet titled What to Do After You Enter Through the Door. Jesus Christ said in John 10:9, I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved, and shall go in and out, and find pasture. Dear friend, if you trusted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior today, please email me at dw3@gospellightsociety.com, and let us know. We have some free material that we want to send you to help you grow in the faith. If you have a prayer request, please email that to us as well, and we will pray for you until you tell us to stop. Until next time, beloved, God loves you, we love you, and may God bless you real good, is my prayer. I don't know why Jesus loved me.